WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Every day, more than 2 million New Yorkers ride the subways. For many, it's the fastest, cheapest, yet most menacing way to get from one part of the city to another. One of these regular riders is photographer Bruce Davidson. In 1980, he spent the year photographing the daily life of the city's underground transit system. What emerged is a collection of photographs called Subway. For Davidson, the subway became more than a means of transportation.
It became kind of a metaphor for me for the world. A kind of a compression of all the atoms of peoples, as if human beings were suddenly became atoms and they were compressed in space and about to explode. I found that the subway, with its graffiti, with its violence, with its metallic fluorescent glow, with its underground reality, that it had something to say about today, about the way we live, the way we live in kind of a crumbling, terrorized world.
What was your routine like when you were traveling the subways to photograph them?
Typically, what I did over the year that I photographed in the subway was to ride the subway 8-10 hours a day without a destination. I would explore all the lines to the end of the line, sometimes riding the subway at 2 in the morning from one end to the other.
A lot of muggers work the subways, and with your camera equipment, you'd really make a great target. Did you do anything to make yourself seem less vulnerable?
Well, the way I worked in the subway was, and the way I always work, or at least I try to work, is with the camera open, exposed. Of course, I'm targeted for muggers or robbers or other people in the subway, but I felt that if I made contact, eye-to-eye contact with people, and I might have a chance of mugging them before they mugged me.
Mugging them? You mean like
mugging them with
them?
My camera in a kind of a mugshot. Later, I found out that the undercover detectives in the police, and there are quite a number of them, got word back to headquarters that this kind of new kind of hustler was on the subway that they've never seen before. And they've seen guys with bongo drums and guys with doing all kinds of, hustles on the subway. But they had never seen anyone making photographs before. And that sort of came back to headquarters, and they couldn't make any sense out of it.
So you became one of the characters who ride the subways all the time.
Yes, another queer.
There are some real characters on the subways. The last time I was on the New York subways, someone came in who really smelled of urine, and he said, "I am a homeless person. I do not have a home like you do." This was an announcement he was making to everyone in the car. He said, "I don't have a home like you do. I am living off of the generosity of a friend who is poor. If you do not help me now and give me some money, I will be forced to turn to a life of crime." And of course, you get the message there that if you don't offer this guy a dollar or whatever, by tomorrow he'll be a mugger. Have you met him? I have a feeling he works the subways a lot.
I've seen a lot of men smelling of urine, and most of them like to sit down between beautifully dressed women and watch their expressions. Everything goes in the subway, but there's another part of the subway that I'm interested in. There's a certain beauty in the subway, a certain theater. Sometimes you're in a subway car and you feel very close to everybody in the subway. I think a great love affair could be made in a subway.
A lot of people on the New York subways just stare at each other, and the way that the seats are arranged, they're long seats, bench-like seats, that just line the length of the subway. So you sit facing the people opposite you. And the hobby of people who ride the subways is just to stare at the other people. Now, the trick is to not let on that you're staring, because a lot of people are very insulted if they find out that you're staring at them. What you're doing is not only staring, but you're staring through a camera and taking their photograph. Did a lot of people get angry with you, hostile with you, because you wanted to photograph them?
No. During the year I was on the subway, I had very few situations where people were hostile towards me. First of all, I carried the camera open. Second of all, about a third of the time I approached someone with this camera open, and I asked them if I could make a photograph. I enjoyed the mood that they were in. Would they go back into it? They either would say yes or no. If they hesitated, I brought out my album. I had a small wedding album full of my subway pictures, and I showed it to them. If they said no, then it was no forever. If they said yes, then I would go back and photograph them.
For me, the most distressing photo in your album is a photograph of a homeless, gray-haired woman. Her hair is really matted. She's standing alone in a subway car, picking up her soiled house dress and exposing herself. And she's naked underneath the dress. And off to her side is a mess of squished-up food that seems mixed in with old clothes, maybe even underwear, and what looks to be a couple of shoes. What's the story behind that photo?
This woman came into the train at about 3 o'clock in the morning. It was an empty train. I was on my way home. I had been photographing, actually, some naked men who were living in the subway. And this woman in this empty car began to undress and out of a bag made this vomitous mess in the middle of the floor of crushed strawberries and cornflakes and soiled clothing and whatnot. And I asked her if I could make a photograph of her. And she didn't say no, and I lifted my camera and made a flash. And then I'd made another flash, and she lifted her dress. Just as she lifted her dress and exposed her somewhat naked body, three youths charged into the train from another car, seeing my flash. And they looked at me with my expensive camera and flash, and they looked at her, and then they looked at this mess on the floor, and one of them said, "Hey, man, let's get out of here." She threw up all over the train. So I learned something from the situation, that this mess that she was making on the floor was a bonfire to ward off the wild animals, the beasts, because that time of night, young people in the subway are looking to rob other people very often, and wolf packs.
That's pretty ironic in a way that three teenagers who might have been muggers after your expensive equipment would be scared away from a mess to them that looked like vomit.
It would be, but I think that the sight of her lifting her dress, the sight of the vomit, and my camera going off, flash going off, was too much for them, and they ran away.
Too crazy even for them.
Even too crazy for them.
In your book, you wrote that your wife said that you weren't going to stop photographing in the subways until you were mugged. Well, you were mugged after a while. What happened?
Well, what happened was my family was away. It was a hot July day. I was riding the subway. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was deep in Brooklyn. I was bored. I wanted to be with my family, and I turned my back on a couple of youths that I had approached and sort of forgot my presence, and they took advantage of it, and the two of them jumped me. I broke all the rules. I was in the end car. I wasn't aware. I was a sitting duck. I think I probably wanted to get mugged. I felt it was maybe my dues, you know. But I had one camera left. They only managed to get one in the struggle. And I continued that day photographing slowly. I was afraid of everybody, you know. But slowly I began to photograph. And I went on for a couple months after that working.
You're officially completed with your subway series now. Do you take taxis now, or do you still ride the subways?
No, I still ride the subways. It's not a state of mind. I'm not possessed by the subway any longer. It was an obsession. I could hear it rumbling below my windows at night, and I would get out of bed sometimes and get dressed and enter the subway like some sort of werewolf. It had a calling. Just the sound of the steel wheels on the tracks would call me in.
Are you glad to be through with that?
I'm glad to be through with the tension in the subway. I'm on to other things. I may work on landscapes. I'm thinking about doing a number of things. But my work doesn't come from just a good idea. It comes from some state of mind, some need within myself that compels me to come close to subject matter, because I spend a long time with whatever I do. So it has to have some real meaning for me to sustain that effort.
Bruce, thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you very much, Terry.
Bruce Davidson, his new book of photographs is called Subway.